Scientists have isolated genes which increase a person's likelihood for developing diseases such as breast cancer, ovarian cancer, colon cancer, and melanoma. We know the genetic links for Lou Gehrig's disease, cystic fibrosis, Huntington's disease, and a variety of other illnesses. This state-of-the-art research is a vital component of the National Cancer Plan, and as a member of the Senate Committee on Appropriations, I will continue to do my part to see that the necessary funding continues for the Human Genome Project. I have been fascinated by the advances in gene therapy and immunotherapy. Steven Rosenberg's The Transformed Cell is not only a terrific book, but the science it describes is truly inspiring. For many years, if one were diagnosed with cancer, the patient was basically given three treatment options: surgery, radiation, or chemotherapy. Physicians would determine at what stage the cancer had progressed and determine which treatment or combination of treatments would be most beneficial. As many here may know, Dr. Rosenberg's book describes how the immune system, in essence, sees cancer cells as natural cells in the body, and therefore the immune system does not attack them. The strategy of Dr. Rosenberg and his colleagues is to identify an antigen which sends a signal to turn on the patient's immune system and attack the cancer cell. Thus, Dr. Rosenberg and his colleagues developed a fourth treatment modality, immunotherapy, also known as biological therapy. Today, scientists are working on another form of biological therapy, gene therapy. We are just beginning to scratch the surface of this treatment, and genetic testing will undoubtedly be linked to gene therapy. Two other books I have read, or I should say probably am reading at least one, Altered Fates by Jeff Lyon and Peter Gorner, as well as the companion book to the television series The Secret of Life by Joseph Levine, complement the research of Dr. Rosenberg and his colleagues. In just the past few weeks, the New York Times and the Washington Post each have published lengthy feature articles about genetics and cancer. The information is being disseminated to patients and at a rapid pace, which I can believe can only help those of us who support biomedical research funding. The scientific data and technology are here, but the social, ethical, and legal ramifications have only begun to resonate beyond the scientific community. Some have likened the revolutionary progress we are making in genetic research to the development of the computer chip and its impact upon our lives. But unlike the computer chip, biomedical research isn't about machines. It's about each of us. It's about our children and our grandchildren. It's about future generations we will never know. As I have learned more about genetic research, I have thought a lot about my family's battle with cancer. As some here know, my wife Priscilla and I are both cancer survivors. My mother and daughter are cancer survivors as well. My younger brother Michael died of melanoma at the age of 35. All of this raises a number of questions in my mind. How should families like mine use the medical data and technology which are available today? Should we all be undergoing tests? What steps should my daughter, who is a survivor of cervical cancer, be taking to protect her children from cancer? What should I tell my son, who could be carrying the P16 melanoma gene? There are also far-reaching employment and insurance ramifications for families like mine. For example, what if an insurer or an employer in the future were to ask them about our family's medical history and then ask them to take a blood test to determine their genetic predisposition to disease such as cancer? Should this be allowed? Should the information remain confidential? Should the genetic likelihood of developing a disease in the future be considered a pre-existing condition for medical insurance coverage? At the onset, let me say my initial reaction is that an individual should be free to choose to be tested in order to determine the odds of developing a disease in the future and make decisions now based upon that information. But I also believe that information must remain confidential. Today, we will examine these important issues. It would not surprise me if we leave today's hearing with more questions than answers. However, I believe we must begin the dialogue in Congress now. There are too many decisions to be made in the future. The scientific knowledge of human genetic research is growing at a pace which far exceeds our understanding about what we should do with the discoveries once they are made. Louis Pasteur once wrote, "I'm on the verge of mysteries, and the veil is getting thinner and thinner. As that veil continues to disappear, we as a society must know how best to respond for the good of all of our families." At this point, I'd like to turn to Senator Feinstein for opening statement, and I want to express my appreciation and gratitude to her for helping get this coalition off the ground a couple of years ago, and it's a pleasure to be working with you on these issues.
Senator, it is my pleasure. I think you've done an excellent job, and you bring a very personal, as well as a very strong scientific knowledge to this subject, and so I am delighted to be working with you. You know, you mentioned your family, and just yesterday, and I'd never thought of this before yesterday, when Dr. Klausner came in, and I think I mentioned it to you when we were on our treadmill going back and forth between Dirksen and the floor, and after the National Cancer Institute's press conference yesterday, I realized for the first time my husband's father died of breast cancer when Dick was 10. His mother just died a month ago from breast cancer that had reoccurred. And I have three stepdaughters who are direct lineage, and my daughter, all of whom are women now, and I had always thought, well, maybe with breast cancer, you know, there are these environmental pockets, maybe, but people eat or the water or something. So, I mean, I never thought of genes. And all of a sudden, it came home to me yesterday when Dr. Klausner was in the room. My goodness, you know, maybe my three